And so let us turn in the Word of God to the letter of the Apostle Paul to the church in Colossae. I'm going to read a slightly different passage than what's noted in the bulletin. We're going to start with verse 24 of chapter 1 and then read just down through chapter 2, verse 10. So starting earlier and ending sooner. This is the Word of God. As the Holy Spirit directed the Apostle Paul to write to this young church of new Christians, and Jesus Christ through it speaks to us today. Let us give heed to our shepherd. Now, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking of Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship of God, from God, that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all the energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding with thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and in him you have been filled, who is the head of all rule and authority. God, by the Holy Spirit, grant us to understand, to hear with faith, to respond with faith and obedience. For Jesus' sake, amen. Now, if you are an astute reader of the bulletin, you know that next Sunday we are going to honor the high school grads associated with our congregation. And just to make sure I've got their names right, so correct the list between now and next Sunday. Jonathan Van Laar, Patty Meether, Sarah Stallman, Levi Siebesma, Lance Terpstra, and Joshua Schiefelbein. So we're going to have something special in the time between morning worship and Sunday school for them. And but I thought I'd take this morning to speak not just to them, but to young people in particular and to the children of the congregation. And I thought with Lance's making profession of his faith, this was an apt opportunity, an apt occasion to do that. So that's why we're looking at Colossians this morning, and I'm going to take verses 6 and 7 as kind of the center of our attention. as we talk about, as I speak to you children, as I speak to you young people, and say, you need to receive Christ as your Lord. Christ Jesus as your Lord. And then to those who have done so, well, what now? Of course, that speaks not only to young people who have confessed Jesus Christ, but to all of us who have confessed Jesus Christ, young and old. And then a warning against dangers, point number three, and point number four, the necessity of holding to the foundation of what you have been taught and to build your life on that. Well, in the passage we read, 1:24 to the end of that chapter, the early verses of chapter 5, the Apostle Paul speaking very personally and from the heart. And he's telling this young church, he's in prison, he can't go visit them, he's telling this young church, new believers, what his longings for them are. And what his commitment is. He's willing to suffer for the church and even rejoice in that. He struggles. He labors, he strives, he does all of these things on behalf of the church. And what I want to say right now is that what Paul says to the church, your moms and dads, and your pastor, and the elders of the church, and your Sunday school teachers, and your Christian school teachers, those of you who have been to Christian school, all could say the same things. We all could say that this is what we long for. This is what we strive for. When we brought you up here, now some of you were baptized elsewhere, but when we brought you, and maybe not all of you have been baptized, but when we brought you up here in your parents' arms, your moms and dads, your parents promised to do certain things on your behalf. We received you by baptism into Christ and into His church, but your parents promised that they would teach you the Word of God, that they would teach you the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they would pray with you and for you, that they would try to set an example of godly living, that they would be faithful in being part of the church in these things, so that you might understand your need for Jesus Christ, so that you might understand who God is and what His will for you is. And in course of time, earlier we pray, more than later, but whenever it pleases God, that the Holy Spirit will work in you. That the Holy Spirit will move you to see that you need Jesus and to receive Christ Jesus the Lord as your Lord and Savior. Those are Paul's words in chapter 2, verse 6. That the congregation he's writing to is made up of people who have received Christ Jesus, the Lord. And we pray that all of you, baptized or not baptized, all of you young people, all of you covenant children in this congregation, will turn your hearts to the Lord and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. On that last day that is coming, we all want to be able to present you to God, as Paul says at the end of chapter 2, verse 28, present you complete in Christ. Trusting Him, loving Him, made holy by Him. That's our desire. And so I urge all of you young people, take seriously what you are learning at home in family devotions and with your parents in every occasion where they instruct you or correct you and discipline you. From your Sunday school teachers, even from me, though I know sometimes I'm hard to understand. We thank God for the grace that He has given to Lance and for the grace that He has given to each of you who have received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior and have shown that by publicly professing your faith in Him. We thank God for that. That's a very important step to take. When you stand before the church and confess your faith in Christ, you're owning your baptism and what was declared over you, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, laid his claim on you. And you're saying now, I do belong to Jesus Christ. I am a child of the Father. The God and Savior of my parents is my God. And I mean to live for him in the fellowship of his church. That's a very important step to take. And we pray that all of you make it with sincerity in your hearts. Well, but then what? I've been told that there are churches where once people have made their public profession of faith, they never come to Sunday school again. As if, well, I know everything I need to know now. Well, listen. When you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, verse 6, now go on walking in him. It's a present tense verse, a verb. It's speaking of continuous action. It's an imperative. Do it. And keep on doing it as a way of life. Go on walking in him. Walking, as you know, I guess probably you all know, is a graphic way of speaking of how we live day by day. And so the apostle, Jesus Christ speaking through him, is saying to you, make it your purpose and endeavor every day to live in fellowship with Jesus Christ and to live for him. It's trite to say, but it's also true, that completing high school should not be the end of learning, but rather just a launching pad to more learning and to using more and more what you have been learning. Well, the same thing is true for us in the spiritual realm, and even more so. Profession of faith is not the end. It's an important step in a pilgrimage that will not end until, by God's grace, you stand before him in heavenly glory. But until that day, you need to walk in Christ. Walk in him. You need to seek to grow in him. And what is generally true as a law of the natural world, I think is true in the spiritual world too. What does not grow will likely die unless God in grace intervenes to revive growth. Well, there are dangers. And that's partly the reason why the Apostle Paul is writing this whole letter, and he speaks of those dangers in the passage that we've read. In verse 3, he says why he has been struggling for the churches, even churches he's never actually seen face to face, like Laodicea and Colossae. He says, I struggle that your hearts may be encouraged, that you may have a full assurance of understanding, that you may have a true knowledge of God's mystery that is Christ. And he says in verse 4, I say all this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. The word there indicates deception, fraud. There are deceivers in the world who seek to use persuasive arguments to turn the children of God away from his son Jesus Christ and to find their hope and their direction somewhere else. We read Psalm 1 at the beginning. There are sinners who are ready and willing to give you advice how to live. There are those who mock Jesus Christ, who mock the truth of God, who mock God, who will welcome you to sit down and enjoy the fellowship of their table. There are those in rebellion against God who would love to have you walk in their way. They're ready to give you advice. They're ready to give you counsel. And these people aren't stupid. They may be a lot smarter than you are. Verse 8, the apostle says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men." According to the elementary principles, the New American Standard says, spirits, ESV, spirits is not in the passage. The word spirits is not there. According to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Be on guard. Be alert. For those of you who have enjoyed, and I truly mean enjoyed, and been blessed by the shelter of a godly home and the fellowship of a church that does believe the Word of God with sincerity, as you move forward in life, and probably many of you in the fall somewhere else besides here, you know, you need to be alert. You need to be on guard. Even if you're going to a Christian college. Did I say that? Yes, I did say that. There are wicked and evil people and clever unbelievers on college, Christian college campuses. That's the truth. I know it from personal experience. You are not so holy and you are not so humble that you can't be flattered and that you can't be fooled. You are not so smart that a smarter guy, a smarter gal, a smarter professor can't impress you with brilliant arguments against your Christian faith. I'm going to take a moment to tell a little story here. When I was a student at UCLA, I got involved in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship my freshman year, and their influence, along with the church, the OP church I was going to in Long Beach, California, were significant influence in my coming to faith in Christ. InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. I'll always give thanks to God for their ministry on that campus. And the young man who was our president, chapter president, my first couple of years, was a psych major, psychology major. And by the time I was second semester of my sophomore year, he quit attending our meetings. And I wasn't an officer anymore. And I wondered what had happened. And sometime later, somebody told me, in his department of major, psychology, he found that he was not able to answer arguments presented by professors and teaching assistants that were intended to make a mockery of the Christian faith and to expose it as something illogical and unreasonable. And he couldn't answer their arguments. And he abandoned his Christian profession. Now, if that was, you know, a forever abandonment, then I would say 1 John chapter 2 applies to him. He went out from us, but it might be evident that he was never really one of us. But I don't know the end of his story. I do know this, that what he thought was, if I can't answer arguments against the Christian faith, then there must be something wrong with the Christian faith. Now what is that? That is arrogance of the first degree. That the truth of God depends on my ability to persuade a PhD professor that he's wrong and I'm right? What kind of foolishness is that? And so I warn you against that kind of thinking. There are going to be people you can't answer. Now, I pray that you will be able to answer them. I pray that you will grow in your knowledge of the Word of God, the meaning of the Word of God, how it applies to our lives, how it describes our world, how it equips us with an understanding of God's world that does have answers. And that God will give you answers. But if in the situation you don't have an answer, the answers lie with God. And you've made a commitment to be His. Now, the problem, the Apostle Paul says, I don't want anybody taking you captive through philosophy. As if something's, we don't want to read this as if there's something wrong with philosophy per se. Philosophy, as we use the word today, is a broad term describing a fundamental, all-encompassing understanding of life and of the world. And so we speak of a Christian philosophy of the world and life. But Paul's warning against the philosophies of his day, primarily Greek, but not necessarily Greek, Paul's warning against those philosophies that are rooted in the world's rebellion against God. He's warning against those basic principles. He speaks of the elementary principles of the world, those basic principles that drive the rebellion of mankind and justify their rebellion, that are summarized in the thinking expressed in Psalm 2 that we read as our call to worship. That the nations and the people of the nations are at war with God and saying, we want to tear their fetters from us. We do not want to be governed by God. Not in our lives, not in our thinking, not in our morality. We want to govern ourselves. Man over God. That's at the root of these philosophies. Don't let clever people take you captive by their philosophies. The most dangerous people you will meet may be or may appear to be the nicest, the coolest, and the smartest people. You need, point number 4, to hold to the foundation of what you have been taught and to build on that. That's what Paul says in verse 7. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him, in Christ, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. I guess I kind of left out the gratitude part this morning. My fellow believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, older and younger, if you are trusting in Christ, if you can make that profession of faith that Lance made this morning with sincerity of heart, then you have been rooted firmly in Christ and in His Word. You have been taught the truth of God's Word. You have seen Jesus Christ. The seeds of God's Word were planted in you, perhaps by godly parents, praise God, by Sunday school teachers, by pastors, by Christian friends, some of you by Christian school teachers. God gave the growth. God caused those seeds to come alive in your understanding and in your heart so that there are spiritual roots in your soul going down into the soil of God's truth. And you're anchored there. Now, mixed metaphor alert, and it's Paul who mixes the metaphor. He says, build on that foundation. Build on that foundation. Do not move away from it. You may move away from here. Who knows where God will lead you. We have to reconcile ourselves to that. But wherever you go, do not move away from that foundation. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9:10. Or as Paul says in Colossians 2 verse 3, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ. And anything that stands opposed to Christ is not true and it's not wise. God has given you a foundation. There is no foundation for knowledge, wisdom, and right living other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I urge you to remember the words of our Lord with which He closes the Sermon on the Mount. We could even sing them, but I'm not going to try it. Our Lord says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, or does them, I like that better, may be compared to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell. The rains will fall. The floods came. The floods will come. Sorrow and grief and disappointment and failure and pain and illness, all these things will happen. The winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Brothers and sisters, don't move away from the foundation. Build your lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ and on His truth. Your building will last eternally. And you will be a blessing to many others and bring glory to God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do hear the words of our Lord Jesus. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would truly give us ears to hear them. That we would take to heart the warnings and the admonitions of your word, which we have read from Paul and from our Lord Jesus. We do pray, Father, for the children of our congregation, that each one of them, if they haven't already, will soon come to a real and hearty faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, and love Him and serve Him all the days of their lives. We pray that you bless their parents, especially in their teaching and treating, praying and living before them. We pray, Father, for those who have committed themselves to living for Christ. Some may not yet have made a profession of faith before this church. We pray they will. But for all we pray, O God, and for all of us who have, Lord, help us to be faithful to you and to know that there is no other foundation for our lives than the one that you have given us in Christ and in your word. It has pleased you, O Lord, to give us deep roots down into your word, your truth, your Son, Jesus. Help us, O Lord, in facing the difficulties and the trials of life and the efforts of the world and the devil to turn us away from Christ. Help us to be alert and wise and faithful, to be humble about ourselves and clear about our dependence upon the work of the Holy Spirit. Help us to walk in Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.